Chapter 25. That the soldier of Christ, if he would be successful against his enemies, must, as far as possible, lay aside all agitation and anxiety of mind. Since when we have lost peace of mind, we should do our best to regain it, so should we learn that there is absolutely nothing which ought to rob us of it, or even disturb it. We have just cause to grieve over our sins, but this sorrow should be calm, as we have already shown in more than one place. And so our sorrow for the sins of all others should be a tranquil sorrow, pitying them with a holy feeling of charity, and lamenting, at least inwardly, over their offenses. As to other sad and distressing events, as illness, bodily injuries, death of nearest relatives, pestilences, wars, fires, or such like misfortunes, which are painful to nature and shunned by the men of the world, we are fully able by divine grace not only to accept, but also to embrace them, as just punishments to the wicked and opportunities of virtue to the good. It is in this light our Lord God himself views them with approbation, and if we would only follow his will, then we should pass through all the troubles and vexations of this life with a calm and peaceful spirit. And know as a certainty that all anxiety of mind is displeasing in his divine sight, whatever may be the cause of it, for it is never free from imperfection, and always springs from some evil root of self-love. Keep therefore a sentinel always on the watch, who shall give the alarm as soon as he discovers any cause of trouble or agitation, that you may take up arms in self-defense. And remember that all these evils, and others like them, are not really evils, though outwardly they may seem so, neither can they deprive us of any real good, but are ordered or permitted by God for the just ends which I have mentioned, or for other purposes which are not revealed to us, but which are doubtless most just and holy. Thus may the most unfortunate occurrence become productive of much good to us, if we will only keep our mind calm and restful. Otherwise all our efforts will be of little or no use. For when the heart is thus agitated, it is always exposed to various assaults of the enemy, and in such a state we cannot discern the right path and the sure road to holiness. Our enemy, who hates this peace above all things, knowing it to be a mark of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who works in it great wonders, often under the guise of a friend, tries to deprive us of it, by stirring up sundry desires within us which present themselves under the appearance of good. But their deceptive nature may be discovered by this test amongst others, that they rob us of peace of mind. In order, therefore, to avert so great an evil, when the sentinel gives notice of any fresh desire, do not admit it into your heart, until you have first, free from all self-seeking and self-will, laid it before God, and, confessing your own ignorance and blindness about it, have earnestly besought him to show you whether the desire comes from him or from your adversary. And, if possible, obtain also the judgment of your spiritual father in this matter. Moreover, even if the desire does come from God, yet be careful before you follow it to restrain all impetuosity, because the work which is entered upon in a mortified spirit will be far more acceptable to him than that which is undertaken with natural eagerness. And often the mortification is more pleasing in his sight than the work itself. Thus rejecting all desires not good, and not acting upon the good ones until you have first curbed your natural impulses, you will be enabled to possess the fortress of your heart in peace and safety. If you would keep it in perfect peace, you must take care also to guard and defend it from certain stings of conscience and feelings of remorse, which are sometimes from the devil, although as they accuse us of some moral failure, they seem to come from God. By their fruits you shall know their source. If they humble you, if they make you diligent in good works, if they do not rob you of your trust in God, then you may thankfully receive them as from God. But if they occasion anxiety and render you fearful, doubtful, slothful, and backward in well-doing, be assured that they come from the enemy. Do not listen to them, but go on with what you are doing. Moreover, disquietude arises still more commonly from the approach of adverse events. In order to defend ourselves against this form of attack, there are two things for us to do. One is to consider and find out what is chiefly hindered by these events, our spiritual life or our self-love and self-will. For if they wound our self-will and self-love, our first and greatest foe, they must not be called adverse, but be regarded as special favors and aids from the Most High God, and therefore be received with a joyful and a thankful heart. And if they are adverse to the spiritual life, you must not even then suffer your peace of mind to be destroyed, as I will show in the following chapter. The second thing is to lift up your heart to God, and with your eyes closed, to accept all things from the compassionate hand of His divine providence, as from a handful of manifold blessings, of which, though as yet you do not understand them, you are content to know nothing further. Chapter 26. What we must do when we are wounded. When you feel yourself wounded, from having through your weakness, or even through willfulness it may be, fallen into some sin, do not be discouraged, nor be over-anxious, but turn at once to God and say unto Him, Behold, O Lord, what of myself I have done. What else could be expected of me but falls? Then, pausing a little, humble yourself in your own eyes, bewail the offense which you have committed against your Lord, and without discouragement rouse your indignation against your vicious passions, and especially against that one which caused your fall. Then say, And not even here, Lord, should I have stopped, if thou of thy goodness hadst not held me back. After this, render him greater thanks and love than ever, wondering at the greatness of his clemency in extending to you his right hand to save you from another fall when you had just offended him. Lastly, say with full confidence in his infinite mercy, Forgive me, O Lord, according to thy mercy. Let me never depart from thee, nor be separated from thee, and suffer me never to offend thee any more. When this has been done, do not sit down to consider whether God has pardoned you or not, for this is only pride, anxiety, restlessness, waste of time, and, under color of various pretexts, a snare of the devil. But commit yourself freely into the merciful hands of God, and pursue your course as if you had not fallen. And if you should fall many times and receive many wounds in one day, do what I have told you with the same confidence, the second, third, or even last time, as at the first. Despising yourself and detesting your sin, strive to live more watchfully. This way of taking falls is very displeasing to the devil, both because he sees it to be very pleasing to God, and because he is thereby baffled and conquered by the one whom at first he succeeded in conquering. And therefore he adopts many artful devices for the purpose of leading us to relinquish it, and is often successful through our carelessness and too little watchfulness over ourselves. The more difficult you find this exercise, the more severely must you deal with yourself, renewing it again and again, even after a single fall. If after a fall you feel anxious, disturbed, and fearful, the first thing to aim at is the recovery of peace and tranquility of mind, and with it your trustfulness. Furnished with these arms, turn again to the Lord, for your distress about your sin was occasioned not by the consideration of the offense against God, but of the loss to yourself. To recover this peace, you must for the time wholly forget your fall and fix your mind on the unspeakable goodness of God, considering his great readiness and eagerness to pardon every sin, however grievous, and how he calls the sinner by various means and many ways to return to him, that he may unite him to himself in this life, and by grace sanctify him, and in the life to come by his glory may make him blessed forever. When you have quieted your mind with these and similar reflections, think once more upon your fault, doing as I have already bidden you. Again at the times of sacramental confession, and I recommend you often to resort to this, look again at your falls, and with renewed sorrow and displeasure for having offended God, and with a resolve never to offend him more, open them with all simplicity before your spiritual Father.